This Morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Abortion law on hold. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. On this Thursday, October 7th, glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
A federal judge has blocked enforcement of the new abortion law in Texas, which bans the procedure as soon as 6 weeks into pregnancy.
There may be at least a temporary avoidance of a government default on its debt. Hear the proposal Republicans have floated to Democrats.
Starting next month in Los Angeles, you'll need to show proof of vaccination to access places like indoor restaurants and malls.
And the small business wake-up call when Facebook and Instagram went dark on Monday.
It made business owners realize how important Facebook, Instagram, all these social media platforms are to their business and how maybe they should, you know, spread things out a little bit more.
Jennifer Ortakalis Dawkins at Insider on small businesses weighing workarounds to Facebook. A couple of moving parts regarding the new abortion law in Texas. A federal judge has temporarily blocked the law. Not long after the action by Judge Robert Pittman in Austin yesterday, Texas notified the court it intends to appeal. More from this morning's Mike Gavin.
The ruling prevents Texas from enforcing the law while the legal battle continues. The measure prohibits physicians from knowingly performing an abortion if there's detectable embryonic cardiac activity, which can occur at roughly 6 weeks of pregnancy. At 6 weeks, many women do not know yet they're pregnant. The law also lets citizens enforce the ban, rewarding them at least $10,000 if they successfully sue anyone who helped provide such an abortion. The judge called the law an offensive deprivation of an important right. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. Texas lawmakers designed the measure so that it would be difficult to challenge in court by barring state officials from enforcing the law. The case is part of a fierce legal battle over abortion access in the U.S., with numerous states pursuing restrictions. Well, there might be at least a temporary agreement on Capitol Hill to avoid a government default. Senate Democrats said last night they might accept a Republican proposal to defuse a showdown over the nation's borrowing limit. Democrats called off a vote scheduled for yesterday afternoon after the Senate's top Republican, Mitch McConnell, floated a plan that would allow an extension of the federal debt ceiling into December. Prior to the proposal, Oklahoma Republican Jim Inhofe.
Yeah, I think Mitch McConnell did the right thing by making the statement that he was going to encourage us to, for the first time, stand strong.
A deal could pave the way for a procedural vote in the Senate soon, to be followed by passage sometime later this week. The House will still have to pass the legislation. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen has warned that her department is likely to exhaust its cash conservation measures by October 18th if Congress does not act. Democrats are looking to flip the script by going on offense against the refusal by Senate Republicans to raise the debt ceiling. But is this an issue that resonates with voters? It's a story by Julia Manchester, national political reporter at The Hill. Julia, what do we have?
So right now, Democrats are really pushing this issue in a number of local competitive swing states, swing districts, as well as a number of swing states. They are really trying to pin this on Republicans, saying Mitch McConnell in the Senate and his Republican allies are playing Russian roulette with the debt ceiling, saying that if they allow the debt ceiling to not be raised, if they refuse to raise it, to vote to raise it, that this could really result in economic calamity. And we've seen a number of economic analyses and predictions showing that if the debt ceiling isn't raised and the U.S. defaults on its debt, there could be 6 million jobs lost. Household wealth would essentially be cut into pieces. It would definitely be a tough economic situation the U.S. is in. However, Republicans very much pushing back against this, saying, look, Chuck Schumer, the Senate Majority Leader, for the Democrats had all of this time before to raise the debt ceiling and to do this at the 11th hour, the American people and voters will realize that this is really on the party in power, the Democrats.
Yeah, that's an easier message for voters to understand, I think, than the debt ceiling. I'm not sure everybody fully grasps it or pays attention, right? I mean, when we go to the ballot box, we typically think taxes, you know, maybe abortion for some people, guns, crime, right? Like, how am I doing personally, economically? I don't think we always think about the debt ceiling. And it's going to be resolved, you know, a year before the election anyway.
Right, right. And you're already seeing Republicans focusing on those issues, in particular, this issue of inflation and rising prices, really pointing voters to the direction of rising gas prices, rising prices for goods and commodities. So that's something that's easier for the American voter to understand because it impacts their pocketbook. This issue of the national debt and the debt ceiling, I mean, if we were ever to default on our debt, there would be economic consequences, and American voters and the American people in general would feel that pretty quickly. That being said, though, a lot of Republicans and a lot of insiders say that, you know, there's a chance that Democrats may end up passing this through reconciliation, essentially a fast-track process in the Senate. And that no one will actually want to let us default on our debt.
We're speaking with Julia Manchester, national political correspondent at The Hill. Her story is called Democrats Look to Make Debt Ceiling a Winning Issue. How about on the state level, as an example, you referenced North Carolina.
Mm-hmm. Well, what you're seeing on the state level is Democrats directly tying Republican candidates or incumbent Republican lawmakers to this issue. So Congressman Ted Budd, for example, is running for Senate in North Carolina. They're tying him to Mitch McConnell. They're tying, and then, you know, when they look at other candidates like Pat McCrory, for example, they're saying Pat McCrory has been silent on this issue. We want to hear from him. So that's what you're really hearing at the state level, these individual candidates being tied to what Mitch McConnell is doing.
You said, too, this is something that actually Democrats are united behind, unlike, say, a couple of these spending proposals that have come through.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've talked to progressives and more moderate or establishment Democrats who said, look, you know, we think that Mitch McConnell is playing Russian roulette, like I said, and there were no issues to raise the debt ceiling during the Trump administration. Why is this an issue now? So Democrats united in saying this is a big risk for the economy, but Republicans equally as united when they say that this is a political game Democrats are playing, that Democrats are the party in power and could easily figure this out.
Yeah. Thanks, Julia. Julia Manchester, national political reporter at The Hill. Coming up next, a Texas school shooting injures 4.
This is a metaphor for your business's journey. Sometimes it feels like the course keeps changing right before your eyes. Whoa! And in order to maneuver it, you need an expert by your side. That's what Dell Technologies advisors do. They have the tech solutions you need to help you get out in front and stay ahead of the game. Woo! Call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL and do more with modern devices in Windows 10 Pro.
Innovation, resilience, agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Thanks for spending time with us. Authorities in Texas have arrested an 18-year-old high school student after he allegedly fired a gun when a fight broke out. 3 of the victims were hospitalized, with at least one requiring surgery. It happened yesterday morning at Timberview High School in Arlington. Kevin Colby, assistant police chief, said 2 of the victims were shot but were expected to survive.
2 will remain in the hospital, which continue to make hopefully a speedy recovery. Again, we need to make sure that we pray for them and also pray for their families.
Panicked students and staff barricaded doors with their desks and hid inside their classrooms. The suspect, Timothy Simpkins, initially fled the scene but later turned himself in without incident. He will be charged with 3 counts of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. A handgun was recovered in the streets. Police have not confirmed if that handgun was the weapon used in the shooting. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
A federal judge has temporarily blocked a near-total ban on abortion in Texas, the toughest such law in the U.S., in a challenge brought by the Biden administration after the Supreme Court had allowed it to go into effect. The action by a U.S. district judge in Austin prevents the state from enforcing the Republican-backed law, which prohibits women from obtaining an abortion after 6 weeks of pregnancy, while litigation over its legality continues. The judge called it an offensive deprivation of such an important right. Texas intends to appeal the ruling to the conservative-leaning Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals.
Number two.
Senate Democrats indicated they plan to accept Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell's offer for a short-term suspension of the debt ceiling, with some claiming the Kentucky Republican caved following a tense standoff on Capitol Hill. Majority Leader Chuck Schumer.
Each time Republicans have chosen obstruction and kept us, unfortunately, on a path to default.
Republicans have blocked efforts to suspend the borrowing limit for weeks, arguing Democrats should address the crisis through the budget reconciliation process.
Number three.
Water rescues are underway in Birmingham as heavy rain has sparked a flash flood emergency and water is rising in low-lying areas across the Alabama region. The area received 4 to 7 inches of rain within a few hours, and up to 6 more inches of rain is possible today. The White House has announced a $1 billion investment in at-home rapid coronavirus tests that it says will help quadruple their availability by later this year. White House COVID coordinator Jeff Zients.
So that means we'll have available supply of 200 million rapid at-home tests per month starting in December, with supply of tens of millions of additional tests coming on the market across the next few weeks.
Zients also says the administration will double the number of sites in the federal government's free pharmacy testing program to 20,000. Here's a reminder about where not to put your valuables. British tennis champion Andy Murray is asking for the public's help in recovering his wedding ring after he left it tied to the laces of his sneakers. Murray says he left his shoes overnight under a car while participating in a tournament in California, and when he went to get them the next morning, they were gone. Murray takes off the ring while practicing and playing and forgot that he left it tied to his unattended shoes.
Overnight. Mm-hmm. Under his car.
Mm-hmm.
Just off the top of my head. Center console, glove box.
He was airing them out, so they needed to be out of the car, apparently.
Okay. I'm saying the ring itself. Can we put the ring in the trunk of the car? Leave it at home? The zippered part of your equipment bag? Yeah. I mean, come on, Andy. So the year plus of remote meetings is ending, right? Time to get back to the office. So about that beard. If you've realized the scruffy look that worked on a webcam isn't fitting the all-business look you're trying to get back to, don't worry. Harry's can help. Harry's crafts high-quality, long-lasting blades and durable weighted handles that make a close, comfortable shave quick and, believe it or not, enjoyable. And refill blades start as low as $2. New customers can get started with Harry's with a starter set, a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel with aloe, and a travel cover, usually $13 for just $3. The starter set and the incredibly close shave convinced me right away to switch to Harry's. I've been using Harry's for years. I think you'll love it too. There's never been a better time to try Harry's. Go to harrys.com/deal to get their starter set for just $3. 100% satisfaction guaranteed, so you've got nothing to lose. harrys.com/deal to get the special offer. HARRYS. harrys.com/deal. Thanks for being with us. Hotel owners in the U.S. are bracing for another quarter of sluggish business travel, hoping that this year's surge in leisure travel can carry over into the fall and holiday season. Here to examine the trends is Peter Grant, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Peter, explain.
During the summer, the travel industry relied heavily on leisure travel. A lot of people's going to on vacations, a lot of people driving to vacations, a lot of people taking airplanes to vacations. That was the way America was sorting, letting off steam during COVID. Business travel has been completely different. Because employers are concerned about putting workers on the road, especially as the Delta variant has spread, they've ratcheted back, they've canceled events, and business travel has just never gotten the kind of traction that leisure travel has gotten this year.
Yeah, liability came up as a term that these businesses are concerned about, right? Sending an employee to a conference, for example, and then being accused of being part of a super spreader event.
Exactly. This whole disconnect has started to take place in people's psyche. When you look at employer-sponsored travel and personal travel, or even going out to restaurants, people are willing to take the risk themselves. But once an employer puts an employee in a risky position, they are taking on liability that they have to think a lot about, because nobody knows how that plays out.
We're speaking with Peter Grant, reporter at The Wall Street Journal. His story is called Business Travel Slump Undercuts Hotels as Vacation Season Ends. Any promise on the business travel front?
Well, there are a couple things. One, as we all know, the infection rate is going down. So people are very hopeful about that. People are hopeful that the lifting of the ban on international travel will result in some business travel, although it's probably mostly going to affect leisure travel to begin with. And there's some group events that are starting to happen. But by and large, the way to track business travel is to kind of look at what's happening in the office space. And I think in office space, we're seeing a slow trickle upward. We didn't see the big surge that we saw in September. And the same thing is beginning to happen in business travel. Slow movement up, but not the kind of surge that people really hope to see before the Delta variant reared its ugly head.
I thought it was interesting, too. You pointed out, of all places, a city like New York might be in a good position because, as you say, Broadway, for example, has reopened. There's going to be a Thanksgiving Day parade. These types of things might put New York City in an advantageous position regarding leisure travel?
Definitely for leisure travel. Leisure travel looks somewhat promising for the remainder of the year. In fact, the Delta variant had some impact, but not a lot on leisure travel. And people who traveled this summer are not going to put off the family events that they put off last year.
Thanks, Peter. Peter Grant, reporter at The Wall Street Journal. Don't forget, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter, at This Morning Show. You can follow me directly on Twitter as well, at Gordon Deal. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Innovation. Resilience. Agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Taking the day's information and helping you make sense of it all. We're here for you every morning. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Thursday, October 7. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koschenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Republicans float a proposal about the debt ceiling. The new Texas abortion law on hold. Los Angeles will require proof of vaccination for places like restaurants and malls. 4 injured at a school shooting in Arlington, Texas. A new Quinnipiac poll shows President Biden with his lowest approval numbers. Republican governors met in Mission, Texas to call attention to border issues. Dodgers over the Cardinals in the National League wild card game, and the stray dog embraced by commuters in Europe's largest city. That story in about 20 minutes. Time for a business update, and it's brought to you by Indeed. Indeed helps you hire great people fast. Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all other job sites combined, according to Talent Nest. Visit Indeed.com/credit. When Facebook and Instagram go dark, is your business really there? That's what many small business owners asked when Facebook and its collection of apps, including Messenger, Instagram, and WhatsApp, went down for about 6 hours without warning on Monday. Jennifer Ordicalis Dawkins, entrepreneurship reporter at Insider, spoke with some of them. Jennifer, what do they do?
They had to really rely on other outlets, and I think it really it made business owners realize how important Facebook, Instagram, all these social media platforms are to their business, and how maybe they should you know, spread things out a little bit more. You know, I talked to one boutique owner in Illinois who she does a Facebook Live show every single day. So every day she's going live on Facebook, selling clothing and accessories to her customers from across the country. She does have a brick and mortar store, which is, you know, great for local customers. But for the most part, her audience is online. And so she ended up having to, you know, she said, use old school email. So, you know, just really contact customers about their orders by email or phone. You know, I think some other business owners were able to maybe rely on their website if they have an e-commerce website, and maybe Twitter if they're able to, you know, DM their customers that way. So I think it was really about spreading out the many different venues that business owners use to contact customers, to market to customers, and engage with them.
So for the one entrepreneur who uses Facebook Live, I mean, it's one thing to say, hey, you need to diversify, but what is there beyond Facebook Live if that's something that you do every day?
Yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, she actually told me that she didn't really have any intention of moving away from Facebook Live or Instagram. You know, she said these are our most critical platforms for her business. She's going to just wait it out and, you know, hope that this doesn't happen again. But I think that there are definitely many other platforms that people can use. I mean, I've talked to a bunch of live shopping sellers who actually use a totally different app. Like there's one called Pop Shop Live. There's also a service called Live Scale. And these all just allow you to separate, you know, from instead of doing an Instagram Live or a Facebook Live, you actually have a separate app where customers log on and are able to shop live with you. You know, some business owners have their own apps themselves. So maybe they have an e-commerce website, but they also have an app. So it's a little bit easier for people who are more accustomed to connecting on their phones and kind of having that social media feeling. You can then just shop on an app, for example.
All right. We're speaking with Jennifer Ortakalis Dawkins. She's an entrepreneurship reporter for Insider, and she's got a good story entitled When Facebook and Instagram Went Dark, Small Businesses Realized They're at the Mercy of an Almighty Landlord Who, quote, They're Just Renting Space From. Explain, too, what this one woman went through, Jessica Ferrandino. She runs the Curated Vintage on Instagram. What was her story?
Yeah, so she was actually interviewed by my colleague, and she essentially sells furniture and housewares on Instagram. And so obviously that's really essential for her to make sales through Instagram. When it shut down, she wasn't able to do that. She has like specific drops, which means she like releases items from a particular collection all at once. And she wasn't planning to release one that exact day, but she had some other stuff left over. She was kind of hoping to mark down and sell. So she kind of just had an entire day where she wasn't able to provide any information about people's deliveries or, you know, push some of this other product that she wanted to put out that day. And, you know, she made a really interesting note about how like timing is really important on Instagram. A lot of the times, and you'll talk to so many different social media marketing experts who say, oh yeah, like study the amount of time that your customers are online or your audience is engaging. Sometimes that might mean Monday afternoon is like the best time, or sometimes that might be, you know, Tuesday morning. So I think for her, that was also a really essential time when Facebook and Instagram were down for her to engage with her customers.
Thanks, Jennifer. Jennifer Ortakalis Dawkins, entrepreneurship reporter at Insider. Coming up next, the new way to get rid of a boat.
Today's Mic Drop is brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Hey, thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Friday Eve. It is time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, the TV show Squid Game continues to be immensely popular on Netflix, along with something else related to the show, phone numbers. Remember, we told you last week that a man whose phone number is briefly seen in the show was getting thousands of calls a day, rattling him so much that he now needs medication to sleep at night. Now the craze is even affecting people whose numbers are just in the same neighborhood. The Wall Street Journal says a 26-year-old 40-year-old woman named Hannah Kim has a number that is two digits away from the one in the show, but that hasn't stopped Squid Game-obsessed fans from calling her in droves. She said she asked Netflix and the South Korean production company how they would deal with the prank calls, and they told her they won't provide financial compensation to people in her situation. A Netflix spokesman said the company was working to edit scenes with the phone number, but as of yesterday, the number still appears in the show and in the opening seconds of the official Squid Game trailer that has amassed more than 20 million views on YouTube.
I can't believe that a number that's two digits away is getting all this.
It seems strange in this day and age, especially where, you know, with sort of cell phones and everything, it's sort of easier to kind of put in the exact number that you want.
Boy.
That does seem a little bit odd, but I guess, you know, when you're that popular, it's not only the number, but adjacent numbers as well. People slip of the finger or people, you know, kind of looking at the wrong number and putting in the wrong number. Yeah. So,
I don't know, transponding the numbers or whatever it is. Instead of 5316, you're typing 6-1 instead of 1-6 or something. That's the only thing I
can think wondered why they didn't use fake numbers for this like they do here in the States. Yeah. You know, the 555 numbers that they use for movie and TVs here. Apparently, they have those rules for movies in Korea, but not TV shows. Apparently, shows, is for whatever reason, TV shows, it's a free-for-all.
Yeah.
And, of course, this is like the most popular TV show of the year. So that's why it's becoming a problem.
Oh, my goodness. Goodness. What a mess that's become.
Yes.
It really is.
And we know our dads told us that there's no such thing as a free lunch, but Dad never said anything about a free boat. Now authorities in Wisconsin are reminding residents to dispose of unwanted boats properly after a vessel was abandoned on a highway with the word free painted on the side. The Wisconsin State Patrol said in a Facebook post that troopers responded to a call for service in Washington County and discovered someone had abandoned a boat on Highway 33. The post went viral and lots of people were having fun in the comments. Some joked that the owner had just run out of gas and will be back to pick up the boat soon, while another wondered if maybe free was actually the boat's name. Others thought that maybe they could wait till there's another flood and then drive it back to their house.
Mm.
Yeah.
Not sure this is the type of boat that actually gets a name.
Yeah.
And the fact that it was spray painted with black spray paint.
No, you don't think
free,
so?
You know, it wasn't,
you don't think it
wasn't artistically done.
Not the SS Free?
No.
Yeah, okay.
There's not even a trailer to go with it.
Well, sure.
I mean, if you really wanted to make it appealing, at least leave the trailer. I mean, the boat was just lying in the shoulder of the road.
Yeah, it would be difficult for someone.
Yeah.
Again, I guess you'd have to have your own trailer, probably have your own boat at home, remove that boat,
right,
and bring your trailer over to pick up this junky boat that's been sitting on the side of the road.
Quite an effort that somebody made to leave it there.
Yes.
You need quite a flood, by the way. I mean, Route 33 goes east all the way to Lake Michigan, but
sure,
you need a pretty good flood too.
Well, again, these floods are coming more often now. They used to say every 100 years. Now it seems like it's every year, so who knows what's around the corner.
Thank you, Mike. Did you know most of the seafood on display at your grocer has been thawed out just to look fresh? Unless you cook it on the boat, peak freshness only happens when it's frozen right after it's caught. That's what they do at Wild Alaskan Company. Wild Alaskan Company delivers high-quality, sustainably sourced, wild-caught seafood right to your door. Premium cuts, ready to prepare, easy to cook. Choose from salmon, cod, halibut, and more, with different specials to explore every month. And they offer a 100% guarantee or your money back. I got the Wild Combo Box and couldn't be more impressed. Each piece of fish individually wrapped and labeled. Plus, the packaging can be composted. Very environmentally conscientious. Wild Alaskan Company seafood is how nature intended it to be. Never farmed or modified, and no antibiotics. And right now, you can get $15 off your first box of premium seafood when you visit wildalaskancompany.com/Gordon. That's Wild Alaskan, A-L-A-S-K-A-N. wildalaskancompany.com/Gordon for $15 off your first box. wildalaskancompany.com/Gordon. Use that URL to let them know that we sent you. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Thursday. Consider this when you answer your smartphone and you don't recognize the number. Being asked the question, "Can you hear me?" by a caller might seem innocent enough, but even a one-word answer of yes by you could put you at risk of a scam. In rare cases, lifehacker.com says phone scammers can record your voice with the intent to impersonate you in order to make fraudulent purchases, but it's more likely they're simply confirming your phone number is active and can be used or sold for scams later. It may go like this. When you answer the phone, there might be some fumbling around on the other end of the line, and a person might say, "I'm having trouble with my headset." This is followed by a yes-no question like, "Can you hear me?" Even though this sounds like it's coming from a real person, often these are robocalls playing pre-recorded messages. if they can confirm your number is active, scammers can then sell your number to other telemarketers for a higher price. If you don't recognize a number, let it go to voicemail. Another worthwhile step is to block calls from unrecognized numbers. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Republican and Democratic leaders are edging back from a perilous standoff over lifting the nation's borrowing cap, with Democratic senators signaling they may be receptive to an offer from Senate GOP leader Mitch McConnell that would allow an emergency extension into December. McConnell made the offer as President Biden and business leaders ramped up their concerns that an unprecedented federal default would throw the nation into recession.
It's not right, and it's dangerous. The reason we have to raise the debt limit is in part because of the policies of the previous administration, which incurred nearly $8 trillion in bills in 4 years, some of which Democrats voted for.
Number two.
A federal judge has ordered Texas to suspend the most restrictive abortion law in the U.S., calling it an offensive deprivation of a constitutional right. By banning most abortions in the nation's second most populous state since September, the order by a U.S. district judge is the first legal blow to the Texas law, which until now had withstood a wave of early challenges. Texas officials swiftly told the court of their intention to seek a reversal from the Fifth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, which previously allowed the restrictions to take effect.
Number three.
An 18-year-old suspect was taken into custody after four people were injured in a shooting at a Texas high school yesterday morning. Three of the victims were hospitalized, with at least one requiring surgery. Arlington Assistant Police Chief Kevin Colby says the suspect, Timothy Simpkins, initially fled but later turned himself in without incident.
He will be charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. Three counts.
Preliminary information suggests two students began fighting in class when a gun was pulled. The Los Angeles City Council has approved one of the strictest COVID vaccine mandates in the nation, requiring everyone age 12 and over to be fully vaccinated before entering bars, gyms, restaurants, or other indoor facilities. It's expected to take effect in early November. Scientists have discovered a species they say is the oldest carnivorous dinosaur found in the UK, a chicken-sized relative of T-Rex. The new small-sized theropod roamed the UK over 200 million years ago. The creatures are two-legged carnivores with hollow bones and three toed feet.
Wow, that's creepy sounding. Size of a chicken and a carnivore. Yeah. I don't know. What is it about hollowed bones? I don't know about that.
I don't know.
Strange. Thanks, Jen.
This is a metaphor for your business's journey. Sometimes it feels like the world is throwing everything it has at you, and to succeed, you need someone to guide you through. That's what Dell Technologies Advisors do. They have the tech advice to help you navigate whatever challenges you're up against and get you safely to where you want to be.
Call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL and do more with modern devices and Windows 10 Pro.
Thanks for being with us. In a packed Istanbul passenger ferry between Europe and Asia, all eyes turned to one commuter enjoying the view from his window. Boji, a street dog, has become a regular sight on ferries, buses, and metro trains in Europe's largest city. Reuters says a devoted commuter, the dog enjoys long journeys on public transportation up to 20 miles on a regular weekday. Istanbul officials who record the dog's trips with a microchip say he drops by at least 29 metro stations a day and was even tracked at sea. With golden brown fur, dark eyes, and floppy ears, Boji started to draw attention about 2 months ago. He is said to respect public transportation rules like waiting for disembarking passengers before hopping on the train. He enjoys traveling on the middle part of a subway carriage, or Boji in Turkish, hence the name which officials gave him. Istanbulites post pictures of him on social media, and his own accounts have more than 50,000 followers. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.